Hello, my name is Jim Keib, and I will be taking you through the walking tour of the Liverpool Cemetery. In this tour, you will be learning about over 25 Civil War veterans who rest in this cemetery. While there are close to 60 Civil War veterans who have graves in the cemetery, this tour will focus on a select few whose sacrifice and service stand out from the rest. While taking this tour, you will learn about veterans who served in battles from Bull Run to Appomattox Courthouse, as well as all major battles in between. They served in infantry regiments, light and heavy artillery regiments, and cavalry brigades. Some were POWs, some were wounded in action, and others gave their lives while serving in the war to make other men free. The veterans in this cemetery represent a fair cross-section of the male population in the mid-1860s. Many were first or second generation German or Irish immigrants. Those who returned from the war came back to occupations typical of this central New York region. Many were salt boilers or laborers in the salt works, coopers who made the barrels for shipping salt and other goods, and boatmen who manned the barges that moved on the Erie Canal. Still others became doctors and leaders of the community. The veteran grave sites in this cemetery range from the Revolutionary War to the war in Vietnam. For years, the Liverpool American Legion has made sure that all the veterans are appropriately remembered on both Memorial and Veterans Day each year. On this tour, we will focus our attention on some of the Civil War veterans who are laid to rest here. In conjunction with this tour, the Legion is working on a project to replace many of the headstones that mark the resting place of these Civil War vets. Headstones that over the years have either been damaged or become unreadable due to wear and tear. This replacement project is due to start in the summer of 2010, so as you make your way around the cemetery, you may notice some of these new headstones. Most of the information on this podcast comes from U.S. and local census reports, resources and cemetery records at the Liverpool Village Historian's Office, and the National Park Service's Civil War Soldiers and Sailors website. In addition, the service accomplishments of these veterans have been verified through extensive efforts to gain and review the military records of each that served. The military records of these veterans were obtained from the United States National Archives in Washington, D.C. If you are interested, these records can be reviewed by stopping in to the Village of Liverpool Historian's Office, located in the Gleason Mansion at 314 2nd Street. Before we begin, special thanks are sent out to the Liverpool American Legion, the Liverpool Public Library, and Liverpool Village Historian Dorian Gutierrez. Without their support and efforts, this tour would not be possible. Now let's go have an adventure. The cemetery is bordered by 6th Street to the north, 5th Street to the south, Tulip Street to the east, and Alder Street to the west. We will refer to these streets frequently during this tour to provide directions between markers. The beginning of this tour is closest to the 5th Street entrance. Stop number one, the flagpole area. We will begin our tour by stopping at a marker near the base of the flagpole in the cemetery. The marker was placed by the Grand Army of the Republic, Colonel Randall Post 648, to remember a group of Civil War veterans whose graves were moved from their original site. To be frank, we are not exactly sure where the original grave sites were located, but this marker and flagpole now represent a place of honor in the cemetery. You will see many names on the marker, but let me point out three in particular: Sidney Anderson, Julius Westgate, and John Geisel. Sidney Anderson was born in 1837 and was mustered into service on May 13, 1861, as a private in Company F of the 12th New York Volunteers. This regiment, led by Colonel Ezra L. Walrath, was organized at Elmira and accepted by the state for service. Sidney's original enlistment was for 3 months, but at the bequest of the general government, it was ordered by the governor of the state that the period of service be extended. Therefore, Sidney's original enlistment time had now been extended to 3 years. The regiment left the state May 29, 1861. Extending his enlistment would prove to be deadly for Mr. Anderson. During its service, the regiment took part in the following engagements. Blackburn's Ford, Virginia, July 18, 1861. Bull Run, Virginia, July 21, 1861. And the Siege of Yorktown, Virginia, April 5 through May 4, 1862. Sidney's final engagement was at Gaines' Mill on June 27, 1862. The Battle of Gaines' Mill took place in Hanover County, Virginia, as the third of the 7 days' battles during George B. McClellan's March on Richmond Peninsula campaign. Mr. Anderson's military records show that on June 27th, he was reported missing in action. While his records initially indicate that he might have been taken as a prisoner of war, it was later confirmed that he had been killed in action. The Union defeat at Gaines' Mill convinced General McClellan to abandon his advance on Richmond and begin retreat to the James River. Julius Westgate was also born in 1837, and along with Cindy Anderson, he mustered into Company F in May of 1861. Unfortunately, Mr. Westgate would not live to see the Peninsula Campaign. In July of that year, the Union Army, under the command of General Irwin McDowell, marched out of Washington, D.C. to engage the Confederate Army near Bull Run Creek in Virginia, the first major battle of the Civil War. As part of that movement, Union and Confederate forces clashed at Blackburn's Ford. Outnumbered by over 2-1, the Union forces, including Westgate's 12th New York Volunteers, were caught off guard and suffered heavy casualties. Julius Westgate was killed in action, with Bull Run given as his place of death. Julius Westgate was one of the first casualties of the American Civil War. John Geisel, whose name was also spelled Geisel or Gessel in some records of the time, enlisted as a private on August 11, 1862. He was 29 years old when he enlisted. John became a part of Company B of the famed New York 122nd Infantry. The 122nd participated in the battles of Antietam, Manassas Gap, Fredericksburg, Gettysburg, Rappahannock Station, the Wilderness, Spotsylvania Courthouse, and Cold Harbor, to name just a few. While we do not have copies of John's military records, recently discovered articles note that he was killed on September 19, 1864, at the Battle of Winchester in Virginia. Also buried at this site is James Drum, D.B. Lee, Thomas Hast, and George Mason. After beginning our tour by noting the sacrifice of three local heroes, we will now move through the cemetery. Stop number 2, Joseph W. Harrison. 2 rows towards Alder Street, and slightly to the left, you will find the marker for Joseph W. Harrison. This is one of the new markers. Several of the stops on this tour have these new markers, which will assist you in locating each site. Joseph Harrison was born in Herkimer County, New York, in 1838. On October 6, 1861, at the age of 24, he enlisted in the 97th Regiment of the New York Volunteers. He was given the rank of sergeant. According to his enlistment papers, Sergeant Harrison stood 6 feet 1 inches tall and had red hair. He participated in the battles at Cedar Mountain, Rappahannock Station, the Second Battle of Bull Run, and South Mountain. On September 17, 1862, Joe Harrison was wounded at the Battle of Antietam Creek in northwestern Maryland. This significant battle is one of the single bloodiest days in all of American history. On that day, almost 4,000 Americans were killed, with another 20,000 wounded or missing. Joe was one of those casualties. After almost 7 months of recuperation at the Antietam Battlefield Hospital, Harrison was released from the Army. Per the surgeon in charge, Joe had lost almost total use of his right arm in consequence of a gunshot wound affecting the external muscles. Harrison returned to the Liverpool area and married around 1877. He adopted a son, Fred Harrison, and was still farming in the area at the time of his death. Stop number 3, George Brand Jr. The next veteran, George Brand Jr.'s headstone, is surrounded by a shrub-type tree. It can be located by walking towards Tulip Street and slightly towards 6th Street. It is located approximately 5 rows back from Tulip. We were not able to locate the official military records of George Brand Jr., but our local information tells us that he served in Company B of the 185th New York Infantry. Company B was part of the 6th Onondaga County Regiment, and they were mustered into service on September 19, 1864. Brand served under local hero Colonel Gustav Sniper and was involved in battles from Petersburg to the final Appomattox campaign. In March of 1865, George was wounded at the Battle of Lewis Farm near Quaker Road, Virginia. Listed as a sniper, Brand would have served in the dangerous capacity of sharpshooter or skirmisher. He is buried here with his wife and 3 infant children. Stop number 4, Patrick H. Davin, Jr. Let's continue the tour with Patrick H. Davin, Jr. Davin's monument is found up the hill heading towards 6th Street. The headstone is to the left of a large monument with the name Weicker on it. Davin's marker is a large marker with a cross on top. Patrick Davin's inscription is located on the west side of the marker, which is the marker for the Davin family plot. We were not able to locate the military records of Patrick Davin, Jr., but from local records we know he served in Company G of the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery Regiment. The 2nd New York was originally used in the defense of Washington, D.C., but in May of 1864 the regiment was ordered by General Ulysses S. Grant to join the Army of the Republic in his efforts to defeat Robert E. Lee in Virginia. From what we know, Davin did not survive long in his new assignment, as he died from wounds suffered in battle on September 13, 1864. Our best guess would be that Patrick suffered those wounds while fighting in or around Spotsylvania Courthouse. Stop number 5, Jabez Gowdy. Our next veteran can be found about 7 headstones towards 6th Street. This is a new marker. Jabez Gowdy enlisted in Syracuse on September 26, 1863, as a member of Company I of the 15th New York Cavalry. He was 31 years old when he enlisted. Giving his profession as butcher, Gowdy nevertheless became a part of a famed cavalry regiment that served under George Armstrong Custer for much of the war. Gowdy's service in the war ended when he was captured by Confederate forces near Hagerstown, Maryland on August 6, 1864. Listed as a prisoner of war from August until his parole on February 22nd of 1865, Private Gowdy finished his Civil War service stationed at Camp Parole near Annapolis, Maryland. After the war, Gowdy worked as a boatman and manual laborer. He died in 1904. Stop number 6, Harry W. Lee. Continuing up the hill to the west towards 6th Street and moving 2 rows towards Alder, in front of a large marker with the name Hearst on it, you will find a new headstone with the name Harry W. Lee on it. Harry Lee was born in Liverpool in 1825, the son of George and Kazai Lee, who were early settlers here. He married in 1850, and in 1854 moved to Wisconsin and then on to Iowa in 1858. When the war started, Lee became a recruiting agent in Comanche, Iowa, and raised a large part of Company A of the 16th Iowa Infantry Regiment. Lee enlisted himself in 1861 and served in the battles of Corinth, the Siege of Vicksburg, and Sherman's Atlanta Campaign. Unlike most of the Civil War veterans here in Liverpool, Harry's service was exclusively in the South. Outside of war, Harry Lee's fortunes were not so lucky. After the war, Lee moved to Chicago, where he lost everything in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. He then moved to the Gulf Coast, where his brick manufacturing business was wiped out by a tidal wave. He moved inland to Texas to farm, but his farm failed. He finally returned to Liverpool, where he died in 1901. Stop number 7, Thomas Wentworth. 4 rows over, towards Alder Street, there is a large marble obelisk near a pine tree. There, you will find the grave for Thomas Wentworth. On this marker, it says, Thomas Wentworth, killed in action, 1836 to 1864. 9th New York Cavalry, Company L, private. Thomas Wentworth was the son of William Wentworth and Lucy Ingersoll. He volunteered for service and was mustered into Company L of the 9th New York Cavalry on August 5, 1862. His personal records describe him as 24 years old, 5'8" tall, with shallow complexion, blue eyes, and brown hair. The 9th New York took part in a total of 141 separate engagements. Some of the more prominent ones were the Battle of Second Bull Run, Fredericksburg, Chancellorsville, and Gettysburg. At Gettysburg, the 9th was involved in first day fighting, and some claim that a member of the company fired the first shot of the battle at 8:50 a.m. on the morning of July 1st. Thomas's journey did not end there, however. The 9th continued to serve with distinction in the battles of Brandy Station and Yellow Tavern. Yellow Tavern is best known for the mortal wounding of legendary Confederate cavalry commander Major General Jeb Stuart. Unfortunately, in June of 1864, young Wentworth was mortally wounded at the Battle of Trevilian Station, Virginia, the largest all-cavalry battle of the Civil War. He is buried here with his parents and extended clan. Stop number 8, Thomas Martin. 6 rows towards Tulip, slightly towards 6th Street, in front of a large marker with the name O'Neill on it, is a new marker for Thomas Martin. Thomas Martin enlisted at age 30 on January 12, 1864. Born in Ireland, his military records list him as 5'9.5" tall, with dark complexion, gray eyes, and brown hair. As others of the time, Thomas listed his profession as boatman and became a part of the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery. As we have learned earlier in our tour, the men of the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery soon found themselves working under the command of U.S. Grant in his efforts to outflank Robert E. Lee in Virginia. During his infantry service, Thomas was wounded near Spotsylvania Courthouse on May 19, 1864, and was sent to Mower General Hospital in Philadelphia for care. Martin was given a furlough in July of 1864 to return home. But when he did not return to his regiment as directed, he was listed as a deserter and was arrested in Lysander to be returned back to duty. He completed his service and was mustered out on August 29, 1865. He died in 1883. Stop number 9, Dorrance Lee. Dorrance Lee's marker can be found by walking approximately 12 rows towards Alder and slightly to the right towards 6th Street. Walk up the hill towards 6th Street, move 3 rows over towards Tulip Street. The marker is between 2 large monuments that read John Lee and Patchen. Marker says Duran B. Lee. Dorrance Lee, like his brother Harry, who we learned about earlier, was a descendant of very early Liverpool settlers. Before the war, at the age of 16, he was already supporting his widowed mother, Keziah. They lived on 3rd Street here in the village of Liverpool. On January 18, 1864, at the age of 19, Dorrance enlisted in the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery. His military records state that he was 5'6.5" tall and had gray eyes and dark hair. Like James Furlong and Thomas Martin, who enlisted in the same month, his initial assignment was in the defense of Washington, D.C. Also like Furlong and Martin, that assignment was short-lived as Grant pulled soldiers into his battles with Lee. On June 16, 1864, at the Battle of Petersburg, Dorrance Lee was critically wounded by an exploding shell. His military disability certificate states that he lost his right leg above the knee and his left leg below the knee. Originally treated in Harwood Hospital in Washington, Lee was transferred to Rochester, New York on August 5, 1864. He was not discharged from the Army until May 19, 1865. Before he died in 1874, Dorrance started a family. His grandson, Eugene Lee of Clay, New York, was one of the last surviving World War I veterans in Onondaga County. Eugene died in 2004 at the age of 104. Stop number 10, Charles Forgar. The marker for Charles Forgar is one row over towards Alder and slightly back towards Fifth Street. Charles Forgar was born in Cattaraugus County, New York, in 1830. As many others did, he gave his profession as boatman when he enlisted in the 9th New York Artillery on December 29, 1863. Later transferred to the Army of the Potomac, Forgar was wounded at the Battle of Cold Harbor on June 1, 1864. His military records do not give a detailed description of the nature of his wound. The Battle of Cold Harbor, the final battle of Grant's overland campaign, is remembered as one of the war's bloodiest, most lopsided battles. Thousands of Union soldiers were killed or wounded in a hopeless frontal assault against the fortified troops of Robert E. Lee. Grant said of the battle in his memoirs, "I have always regretted that the last assault at Cold Harbor was ever made." Charles was treated at Mount Pleasant Hospital in Washington and was mustered out of the Army on July 6, 1865. He returned to Liverpool after the war and lived a laborer's life. At the age of 49, his household included his wife Louisa and his three children. He died in 1890. Stop number 11, August Steinmeier. The easiest way to locate the next veteran, August Steinmeier, is by finding his family plot. The plot is located five rows over towards Alder Street. August has a new marker. August Steinmeier was 32 years old when he enlisted into the 185th New York Infantry on September 3, 1864. Born in Germany, he listed his occupation as joiner when he volunteered to serve 1 year in the Army. On April 1, 1865, August was wounded at the Battle of Five Forks, Virginia. Often referred to as the Waterloo of the Confederacy, the battle pitted Union Major General Philip Sheridan against Confederate Major General George E. Pickett. Fought southwest of Petersburg, the loss triggered Lee's decision to abandon his entrenchments around Petersburg and begin the retreat that led to his surrender at Appomattox Courthouse on April 9th. Steinmeier was sent to Lincoln General Hospital in Washington and was mustered out of the Army on May 30, 1865. On December 10, 1891, the Baldwinsville Gazette and Farmer's Journal reported his death. He was working at the time at Maple Bay, a resort on the shore of Onondaga Lake opposite Liverpool. Returning from work on the evening train, he mistakenly got off at the wrong stop and tried to reboard the moving train. He fell between the cars and was killed. The Gazette further reported that he was a man of some propriety and leaves a wife and five children. Stop number 12, Charles Van Alstyne. The marker for Charles Van Alstyne can be found two rows towards Fifth Street. It is a traditional headstone. On February 18, 1864, recruiting agent George S. Maynard procured Charles Van Alstyne for service into the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery Regiment. For his work, Maynard was paid the sum of $15. Charles was 24 years old when he was procured by Mr. Maynard. He was 5'9½" tall and had blue eyes. The story of the members of the 2nd New York Heavy Artillerymen has been recalled many times during this tour. As with many of the others, Charles found himself at Petersburg, and on June 24, 1864, he was reported missing in action. Captured by the Confederate Army, he was first confined in Richmond, before being sent on to Lynchburg and finally Florence, South Carolina. He was paroled on December 19, 1864, and was sent to Alexandria, Virginia. Hopefully, George Maynard enjoyed the $15 he received for finding Mr. Van Alstine, as Charles was certainly not having a good time. Sent home for a furlough in December of 1864, he did not return to service and was charged with desertion by the War Department. However, his military records reveal a letter sent by Dr. Steinberg of Liverpool, which states that Charles was under his care for typhoid fever and could not report back for duty. I would think his time down in Florence, South Carolina, had something to do with that illness. Whatever the reason, Charles did not report back and was formally discharged from the Army on July 30, 1865. The 1880 and 1900 census show the Van Alstines still in Liverpool. In 1880, Charles was a trapper, hunter, and fisherman, and his family included a wife and three children. Charles died in 1911 at the age of 71. Stop number 13, Thomas Turner. Thomas Turner's marker can be found three rows over towards Alder and two rows towards 6th Street. It is a new marker. Thomas Turner was 20 years old when he joined Company F of the 15th New York Cavalry on August 19, 1863. Only 5'5" tall, Tom was promoted from private to corporal after only 2 months of service. The 15th New York Cavalry was formed principally in upstate New York and was a late addition to the Army of the Potomac. As part of George Armstrong Custer's division, the units fought throughout the Shenandoah Valley under the command of Phil Sheridan. They were present at Five Forks and Appomattox and participated in the last cavalry charge of the Civil War. Mr. Turner would not be present at Appomattox, however. He was taken prisoner at Newtown, Virginia on May 26, 1864. While being transported to Andersonville Prison, Thomas escaped near Wilmington, North Carolina, and made his way back north, ultimately joining his regiment. That escape probably saved his life. Tom lived in Liverpool after the war with his wife and four sons. He died in 1905. Stop number 14, William J. Cake. The next veteran can be found two rows towards Alder and slightly to the left. William J. Cake has a new headstone. William Cake was born in 1843 in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania. He enlisted into the 30th Pennsylvania Infantry in 1861 at the ripe old age of 18. The 30th Pennsylvania, also known as the 1st Reserves, was engaged in the battles of Mechanicsville, Gaines Mills, Second Bull Run, South Mountain, Antietam, Fredericksburg, Gettysburg, and the Wilderness. After his enlistment ended, Cake re-enlisted and was back in service at the Battle of Spotsylvania. The Battle of Spotsylvania was fought between May 8th and May 21st in 1864 along a trench line some 4 miles long, with the Army of Northern Virginia, under the command of General Lee, making its second attempt to halt the spring offensive of the Army of the Potomac under the command of Lieutenant General Grant and Major General George Meade. Taking place less than a week after the bloody, inconclusive Battle of the Wilderness, it pitted 52,000 Confederate soldiers against a Union army numbering 100,000. The fighting was characterized by an intensity of firepower never previously seen in Civil War battles, as the entire landscape was flattened, all the foliage destroyed. Both sides, fighting from back and forth over the same corpse-strewn trenches, engaged in hand-to-hand fighting, somewhat reminiscent of battles fought during ancient times, and there were many descriptions of the field as a morass of corpses, piled so high that wounded men buried underneath them were pressed down into the mud where they drowned. The angle between the Union 2nd and 6th Corps became known as the Bloody Angle of Spotsylvania, where perhaps some of the most savage fighting of the whole Civil War took place. It was at Spotsylvania that Cake received a gunshot wound. He was sent to Haddington U.S. Hospital in Philadelphia and was discharged in January of 1865 by reason of disability from the wound. By 1880, William had moved to Liverpool with his wife and daughter. The family lived on Second Street, and Cake worked as a laborer and basket maker. He was well respected in the community and served as village president in 1891. He died in 1900 at the age of 57. Stop number 15, Henry Schatt. Henry Schatt has a new marker which can be found one row over towards Alder and slightly to the left. Henry Schatt was born in Germany and was drafted into the 64th New York Regiment on August 22, 1863. He was 5'5" tall and received $25 for enlisting. He had fair complexion, brown hair, and blue eyes. On February 1, 1865, Henry was promoted to corporal. Actively involved in the Petersburg campaign, Schatt was wounded near Hatcher's Run, Virginia, on February 7, 1865. The wound was in his left leg, and the leg needed to be amputated above the knee, mid-thigh. 6 months later, Schatt was finally able to travel, and he was transported from Washington to the U.S. Army Hospital in Rochester, New York. Not much is known about his time in Liverpool, but Henry Schatt died in 1908. Stop number 16, Peter King. The next stop on the tour will be Peter King. Peter King's marker can be found by walking towards 6th Street and crossing the service path. Continue towards the corner of 6th Street and Tulip. It is behind a large monument with the name Scherer on it. Peter King was born in Germany in 1834 and was only 18 years old when he enlisted in 1862. Part of the 101st New York Volunteers, the 2nd Onondaga County Regiment to be mustered into service, they left the county in February of that year. Peter was wounded during the 7 Days battle fought on the Virginia Peninsula, part of McClellan's failed attempt to take Richmond via a southeast route. King moved to Liverpool after his service in the war ended, and he worked as both a cooper and a basket maker. He and his wife Carolyn had 5 children, and the family lived on Cypress Street in the village of Liverpool. A newspaper article regarding King's death in 1897 stated that he developed a hernia of the breast as a result of the service wound from which he never recovered. In reality, King committed suicide by ingesting Paris green, a chemical commonly used at the time as a pigment and pesticide. Stop number 17, Charles Elia Edwards. Our next veteran, Charles Elia Edwards, can be found by walking carefully down the hill towards Alder Street. Passing between the visible monuments of Duschler and Jaquith, at the Duschler Monument, head towards the corner of 5th and Alder. Edwards' marker can be located behind the marker with the name Learned on it within the Edwards family plot, 3 monuments from the streetlight. While we do not have the military records for Charles Elia Edwards, we do know that his short time of service was filled with adventure. He was born in Baldwinsville, New York, and if the actual year of his birth was 1846, Charles would have enlisted in the Army at barely 16 years of age. We do know that he enlisted in Avon, New York, and was mustered into the service on August 20, 1862. He was a member of Company E of the 111th New York Infantry and signed up for a term of 1 year. His first stop was Harper's Ferry, Virginia, where he avoided capture during one of the largest incidents of surrender by American troops in U.S. history. The regiment's next major stop was Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. At the Battle of Gettysburg, the 111th New York did not suffer defeat. However, they did suffer significant casualties. In fact, the 111th lost 249 men killed, wounded, or missing in action, the second most casualties suffered by any regiment in the battle. Edwards was one of the lucky few to make it out untouched. Edwards lived in Liverpool from 1865 until his death in 1935. He was the last surviving member of the Liverpool Grand Army of the Republic organization. Charles was very politically active, serving as town justice of the peace, tax collector, highway commissioner, and school trustee. He even served as Onondaga County treasurer from 1924 to 1927. Edwards and his wife Julia were married in their house at 601 2nd Street in Liverpool and lived there the rest of their long lives. Stop number 18, James Furlong. To locate James Furlong, head north towards 6th Street and two rows towards Alder. His monument is the second monument in from Alder. It is a new veteran's headstone. The story of James Furlong is a common one repeated many times late in the Civil War. Born in Ireland, James joined the Army in 1864 at the age of 45, enlisting in the town of Salina on January 14th. Originally a part of the 2nd New York Heavy Artillery, Furlong was moved to infantry duty when Grant moved south towards Richmond in an attempt to outflank Lee. His military records indicate that he was wounded on June 16, 1864, at the Battle of Petersburg. However, further reading of the records reveals that Furlong may have actually deserted on June 16th. So what might be the true story? Well, maybe both pieces of information are true. James may have actually been wounded, as the records show that he was at the U.S. Army Hospital in Philadelphia. The records also indicate that he left Petersburg without permission and was fined $30 when he was arrested in September. Whatever the case, Furlong lived in Liverpool after the war and worked as a salt boiler. He died in 1883. Stop number 19, John Lynch. Heading towards Alder Street to the west, John Lynch's marker can be found along the service road. It is a new headstone. John Lynch was born in Ireland in 1844. How he came to Liverpool is unknown, but by 1860 he was working on the Smith Farm in Clay. Showing his occupation as boatman, John enlisted in the 9th New York Heavy Artillery on June 12, 1864. He was only 5'3" tall and had gray eyes and blonde hair. On July 19, 1864, John was captured at the Battle of Monocacy, just outside the city of Frederick, Maryland. The battle was part of Confederate General Jubal Early's plan to divert Union forces away from General Lee's army under siege by Grant at Petersburg. Grant had not fallen for the ploy, however, and had moved soldiers who had been guarding Washington out of their entrenchments and onto the battlefield. Lynch was one of those who were moved from the safety of D.C. out to an infantry position. After his capture, John was sent to a Confederate prison camp near Richmond and ultimately was paroled in a prisoner exchange in February of 1865. After the war, he lived in Liverpool with his wife Sarah and two young children. John died in 1892 at the age of 48. His son, John Jr., fought in the Spanish-American War and died in 1907 at the age of 36. You will find John Jr.'s headstone very close to John Sr.'s. Stop number 20, Dr. John R. Young. Walk up the main cemetery road towards 6th Street near the cemetery entrance. On the left is the monument for Dr. John R. Young. John Young was born in 1841. On April 18, 1861, while attending the seminary in Fulton, New York, he enlisted in Company H of the 24th New York Infantry. He was promoted to corporal and eventually to second sergeant. He participated in the battles at Rappahannock Station, Gainesville, and the Second Battle of Bull Run. The Second Battle of Bull Run was fought August 28 through 30th in 1862. It was the culmination of an offensive campaign waged by Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia against Major General John Pope's Union Army, newly named the Army of Virginia. During the battle, Young was hit 6 times by Confederate fire, receiving wounds in the head, shoulder, left arm, left leg, and foot. The musket ball in his head remained there for 4 days, and the ball in his leg resulted in an open wound that took 2 years to heal. Amazingly, John Young survived the war and returned home. After the war, Young went to Chicago to attend Hanman College, where he graduated as a physician in homeopathic medicine. He started his practice in Liverpool in 1873. He was a popular physician who practiced from his house at 419 First Street. He was involved in community affairs and organizations and was well known for racing his horse and cutter up First Street to celebrate a good snowfall. In 1871, Dr. Young died from a stroke. His family attributed this stroke to the head wound he had received so many years earlier at the Second Battle of Bull Run. Stop number 21, David H. Holmes. Continuing six rows west towards Alder Street and slightly to the left will be the marker for David H. Holmes. The family marker is designed to look as if there was a log resting across the top. David H. Holmes has a new individual marker as well. David Holmes was born in Elbridge, New York on June 18, 1842. He enlisted on November 4, 1861 at Fort Ontario in the city of Oswego and joined Company G of the 81st New York Infantry. He was 5'5" tall and had dark hair. He listed his occupation as farmer. The 81st New York Regiment participated in the battles of Yorktown, Williamsburg, Fair Oaks, and Malvern Hill. In August of 1863, David was transferred to the Invalid Corps, where he remained until 1864. There are no reasons given in his military records for this transfer. We do know he married Helen Temple of Palermo on January 31, 1868, and worked in Liverpool as a day laborer. Holmes died at the age of 80 at the Onondaga Sanatorium, a treatment facility for tuberculosis patients. Stop number 22, Llewellyn J. Hall. Continue towards Alder. Two rows back from the corner of Alder, as well as two rows back from the corner of 6th, there is a new marker marking the gravesite of Llewellyn J. Hall. Llewellyn Hall was 18 years old when he enlisted in the fabled 147th New York Regiment. He enlisted in the city of Oswego on September 24, 1862, and because he was only 18 years old, he needed the consent of his father to join. His father, Daniel Hall, gave that consent. Llewellyn was 5'6" tall and had blonde hair. The 147th New York Regiment fought in both the Battle of Chancellorsville and the Battle of Gettysburg in July of 1863. After coming out of winter quarters, the 147th became part of U.S. Grant's plan to take Richmond by moving around the right flank of Robert E. Lee's Army of Northern Virginia. One of the early engagements of that plan culminated in the Bloody Battle of the Wilderness on May of 1864. The battle was in the wilderness of Spotsylvania, an expanse of nearly impenetrable scrub growth and rough terrain that encompassed more than 70 square miles in central Virginia. Although the battle is usually described as a draw, it could be called a tactical Confederate victory, but a strategic victory for the Union. The battle resulted in almost 30,000 casualties, and Llewellyn was seriously wounded. Because of the wound, Llewellyn was left behind by the Union Army and became a POW. He was admitted to a Confederate field hospital in Spotsylvania County, Virginia, where treatment required the amputation of his left leg 3 inches above the knee. In October of 1864, Mr. Hall was paroled as a prisoner of war and was sent to the Union Army Hospital in Annapolis, Maryland. He was moved to the U.S. Army Hospital in Philadelphia, where he was discharged on May 18, 1865. He lived at 102 Cleveland Street in Liverpool and died in 1928. This concludes our Liverpool Civil War Veterans podcast tour. As I mentioned at the beginning of this tour, we did not cover all the stories of our Civil War vets, and we did not stop at every grave site. For the complete tour, you can pick up the tour booklet at the Liverpool Library, Liverpool Historian's Office, or the Village of Liverpool offices. If you want to see copies of the military records of many of our Civil War veterans, you can do that by arranging an appointment with the Liverpool historian. I thank you for taking the time to listen to the stories of our Civil War heroes. They served our country well at a time when we needed them most. This is Jim Kibbe saying goodbye, and have a great day.